This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt on the AM 740 Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
I'm the sous chef of the garden, Frank Proctor. Hey.
Morning, Frank.
Nice way to start the year, not, you know, just co-opting the show and making it my own. Although that's my secret plan for 2013. It is the Garden Show, my friends, on AM 740.
And you are the sous chef of the garden.
The undergardener, all set to perform here as best I can with this rotten cold.
Yeah,
you
sound
man,
rough.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been about 5 weeks, and I'm not the only one. I mean, this whatever it is. And I've had my flu shot and everything, so
I'm trying to keep my distance here.
Yeah, but I'm on heavy duty meds that don't seem to be working very well.
Well, that's okay.
But it's okay.
Chicken soup.
Know?
It's all about the chicken soup. I'm telling you.
So it's no slow dancing in the studio for Charlie and I. No
hugs. No fooling around.
Distance apart. Yeah, I know. Yep. I know. I missed my hug this morning and everything. But anyway, I know Dan. Morning to you, Dan, our producer. He's in his coat of many colors, kind of a neat caftan, what is it?
Well, it's actually not quite.
It's a jacket. Sweater,
yeah, it's an over
jacket.
Thing.
It's an over thing.
It's like a hoodie.
Oh, my God. Where are we going with this? phone numbers. I have
clearly,
an excuse.
We're not the wardrobe people.
you don't have an excuse to sound.
I'm the garden person.
Oh, right. Okay. Here's the numbers, folks. 416-360-0740. That's in Toronto. Then anywhere else in the province, toll-free, doesn't cost you a penny, 1-866-740-4740. And a lot of folks, you know, wait till a little later on in the show, and then they wind up, oh, can't get in. Call now. And then, in fact, our mantra is call early, call often, one question per call. And if you get through
done.
and you can be lucky enough, you can call back again.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. Make it so everybody can get their questions in and get their say in. And, of course, it's not just questions. We love to hear tips and suggestions.
And reports on, projects you've suggested.
Made recommendations on.
Yeah.
Only positive stuff, though. Only
I was an almost honorary gardener there.
Yeah.
Almost, yes.
Yeah, almost.
Okay. You got announcements here, right?
A couple. I have mentioned this already, but I will mention it again. January the 9th, this Wednesday, the Burlington Hort Society General Meeting. They meet at the Burlington Senior Center, which is 2285 New Street at Drury Lane.
Now, when you go to these hort, do they genuflect to you when you walk through the door and, you know, bow and scrape and stuff?
No, of course not.
Oh.
I mean, they ask for my autograph. No. No.
Oh,
sometimes,
just wondering.
Yeah, sometimes people get very excited and think I'm very special if you want me to tell you what actually happens. And other times people realize I'm just your average schmuck. So, the speaker at the Burlington Hort Society is Marjorie Latimer, and she's a master gardener. She's speaking about sustainable gardening. Of course, they meet at 7:30 this Wednesday. The Ontario Rock Garden and Hardy Plant Society will be meeting on January the 13th, 1:30 in the afternoon, at the Toronto Botanical Gardens. Coffee starts at 1, speaker is at 1:30, and it's Virginia Hildebrandt speaking on micropropagation on January the 13th, Toronto Botanical Gardens. And this coming Tuesday, January the 8th, 7:30 p.m., the Scarborough Garden and Hort Society presents a free lecture on container gardening for home gardeners or homeowners and apartment dwellers. The presentation is by the brand new president and master gardener, Alan Milliken.
Well, congratulations.
Exactly. Good for Alan. Guests, of course, are welcome. Refreshments are included. And the meeting takes place at the Scarborough Village Community Center, 3600 Kingston Road and Markham Road, northeast corner. There's a large and well-lit parking lot as well, which is good to know. Speaking of well-lit parking lots, snow. What do you think of all that snow we've been getting?
Well, now we're into a typical Canadian winter.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. You know? It feels right.
Yep, it does, and it's pretty at times. Now it's getting kind of mucky, but
well, that wind—it was very windy. It was so pretty; all the trees were just covered. And then that was kind of gale force winds yesterday.
Something else—it all
blew off of the trees, and everywhere drifts were piling up. So you know, it gets a bit dangerous. But I did want to mention, all that snow is a wonderful thing for the garden. Yep. Generally speaking,
insulation. Right?
Exactly. All of our garden plants are very happy to have snow shoveled on top of them. The one group that we don't typically, you know, put big piles onto are the evergreens. Those we let just be. But I'll tell you, my roses are happily ensconced in a foot of snow. And of course, the perennials.
They love it.
The snow is the best. Of course, it's going to add moisture in the spring when it melts. But in the meantime, it's providing, as you pointed out, good insulation.
Okay.
So we love that snow. And that's a great thing. So don't be afraid to, you know, pile that snow onto deciduous plants, perennial plants, roses, like I said, are a very, very good example. All right. So I think what we'll do is I do have some homework from last week.
Okay.
Jacques had a question from New Hamburg. But I think what I'll do is I will come back to that answer after we take a break, because I think that's what we have to do right now.
Right, yeah. Dan is giving us the evil eye.
That's right.
You know.
Heads up.
Move along. Move along. All right. And if you're going to invite Charlie, the average schmuck, to your
event, Horse Society.
Have a red carpet at least, you know, for gosh sakes. And a little crown, a little tiara would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back then in just moments to talk to the callers for Charlie Dobbin, the Master Gardener, here on The Garden Show from AM 740.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And first Saturday of the brand new year, Frank Proctor, welcome you aboard The Garden Show.
Welcome back and welcome to the new year.
Gee whiz. Well, let's find out what's going on in Thornhill. Paul's on the line ready to talk to you. Good morning, Paul.
Oh, hello.
Morning.
That windstorm that happened, one of my willows crashed over to my neighbor's property. So they got the town involved, and my fence was too high. Now it's too low because my neighbor's deck is much high, and I basically can't do anything but make a partition, and the town said to me that I have to have something growing on it, so I need something. I'm going to make a partition, but I need something growing fast, so within 3 months, it will cover so the neighbor's not saying hello to me every 5 minutes.
3 months. Okay, that's a bit of a
yeah, we've got litigation going here and everything. Wow.
So you're saying the neighbor's deck is so high up off the ground that they're looking down into your backyard.
You got it. And I said to the town about it, I said, you know, is that legal? And he said, they can have a second story, you know, a patio.
Yeah.
They can look anywhere they want. It's their property.
Yeah.
I just put my fence 2 feet higher than the 6 feet, and it had to come down.
Yeah.
Oh, for gosh sakes.
Right, because there's
bylaw
limits.
Yeah. Well, also my neighbor, my side neighbor, he just hacked away at my trees and whatever.
Oh,
because
dang.
They were 6 inches over onto his property.
Right.
So it's not a good neighbor situation,
no.
I kind of want to, so I don't, as I said, I don't have to say hi to him, and what am I eating, what am I doing?
I know,
they're just, and they party a lot too, so,
privacy.
I don't want their view.
Right. Okay, so obviously this is on the side of your house. Now tell me, yeah.
Side
so,
back.
Well, I'm thinking about, okay, obviously the fence is 6 feet high, but you need something above that 6 feet.
You got it, and I can do it 4 feet onto my property.
Inside
my property. I can't grow cedar trees or anything like that, because if they touch, you know, the fence, it's just ridiculous.
My gosh. Wow. They've got you in a real box there.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you could grow cedars, but you would just have to grow them so that they aren't going to go over the property line.
He takes his scissors out and he basically cuts anything that goes on his side of the property. Mind you, when he's on his deck in the summer, he can't use his forks, spoons, or knives because they're too hot.
You know, I'm just trying to think of something innovative there that wouldn't require plants. I mean, there's certainly plants that will grow quickly. Poplars come to mind, or, you know, poplars grow very, very quickly. They're short-lived plants. I mean, how long do you intend to live in this house? Is this,
I don't know.
Maybe forever? Or?
I just want convenience for the, you know, somebody said ivy, but, you know.
But it's got to grow on.
Something that's a, sort of like a quick cure to satisfy what I'm going to build.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, the thing about ivy is it's got to grow on something. You still need a frame for the ivy.
Yeah, I'm going to be building, sort of like just to give my little patio, you know, a rest from the neighbors.
Yeah. So you'll wind up, if I get this clearly, you've got a fence, and then you're going to build another fence.
Yeah, you're going to build a fence inside.
Like a screen.
A fence inside,
are, you know, looking over at me all the time.
Wow.
Right. So you could put like a screen that's, you know, 10 feet high, and then, sure, ivy would grow, and ivy grows fairly quick. How much sun gets into this area?
It's a shady part, so that's what I'm having problems with.
Yeah.
I was thinking, maybe ornamental grass, maybe?
No, they want lots of sun.
Okay.
And of course you won't, particularly anything really tall. Yeah, I know what you're thinking, for that big height, but those, they all need full sun.
Yeah.
There might be a bamboo that could sort of work out in there, but I mean, the idea of a big tall screen and then growing on it, things like ivy, like English ivy does grow in the shade, and could be perennial. Something called Baltic ivy is hardy and perennial.
Okay, Baltic, okay.
Yeah, for really fast, though, I'd even go with something like Boston ivy or Engelmann ivy.
Okay.
So Boston ivy, or it's also known as, there's one called Virginia creeper, which is
okay,
the same.
So do these ivies mix together? Like, you know, do I have to have a certain breed of ivy, you know, for that to take hold, or can I put, like, I'm going to try anything, so I can buy 10 ivy.
I was going to say, I have this vision of what you're going to do. Don't do that. What width of screen are we thinking to build here? Maybe 6-8 feet?
Maybe 9.
Okay.
Yeah, 9 with sort of like lattice with two posts.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what? One plant of each. If you want to try and see which one outperforms the other, get one Baltic ivy, one Virginia creeper, and one Boston ivy.
Okay.
All of them would need to be planted in the ground. They'd be better as opposed to in a container above ground.
Right.
So, you know, fix the soil, make it reasonable soil, plant these plants, shoot them up, you know, send them in the right direction, and you won't get 3-month coverage, but you'll get pretty close to that. These are all very fast growing, particularly the Boston and the Engelmann. They'll grow up very quickly. Once, give them, you know, they need to get their little roots down, so don't get impatient.
They're perennial, right?
Yes, they are. They're all hardy and perennial.
Oh, wonderful. I thank you.
Yeah. So,
well, Paul, I hope you get that sorted. That's awful when you wind up with a neighbor that is a bit of a pain in the you know.
Well, and also those big tall, I know, I don't like those big tall decks either.
Yeah.
One quick question. I had two willows shot to the ground because they were infected, and I didn't know it at the time, but I've gotten rid of those. And is there a tree company or whatever that can, you know, help me with cost-wise or give me a cheaper cost for a more mature tree?
To replace with trees?
Replace where the willows were.
Yeah, there's a, where are you? You're in, where, Thornhill?
You know, the Thornhill border.
Yeah. You know what I'd probably do is, do you ever go to Angelo's Garden Center on Highway 7 at between Keel and Dufferin?
No, but he sounds like he's going to be my new best friend.
Yeah, go to Angelo's or Tree Valley, which is right on Bayview. Tree Valley has lots and lots of good tree choices.
Tree Valley, right on, no, they've moved.
Well, that's right, wherever they moved to.
I don't know.
All right, I'll look it up, I'll let you know.
Angelo sounds like a buddy to me.
Angelo's is great.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Paul, and good luck. Holy cow. What a way to start out the new year with a bit of a battle going on there over the fences.
Yeah, exactly. Between the properties. I know.
Yeah,
it's hard. We get calls like that sometimes, where the tree has gone over the property line. And, of course, by law, you own
the air above,
you know, or the air, you know, at your property line. So poor trees can get really manhandled and pruned badly because of that.
Yeah. And you know what? That call took a little long to deal with. So
we
have to take a little bit of a break here at 9:22. But it's a nice break to get back to one of our favorite subjects, which is Sierracil.
That's right. And you said you weren't feeling well.
No.
And I wonder if maybe you have been not taking your Sierracil.
Well, and you know something? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. Sierra,
over the holidays, I got off filter your, there. Right. And,
okay. Yeah. So I'll get back on that.
Okay.
Because Sierra, like the mountains, and then Sil, S-I-L, is a completely natural mineral supplement that Frank and I both take to help ourselves feel better. It's got to do with joints and aches and pains and being able to stay active. active and pain-free. And we find that it works quite well for the kind of activities that we do, myself with my snow shoveling and yourself with your...
whatever.
Whatever, exactly. Whatever trouble you're getting into. So Cerasil is, like I say, it's a quite effective for most people. You will feel better within 14 days if it's going to do anything for you. And that's where the phone number comes in. 1-877-JOINT-14. They are based in Vancouver. You can give them a call if you have any questions. You can order over the phone or online at www.cerasil.ca. Or you could pick up Cerasil at your local health food store, like Nature Village on Queen Street, south in Streetsville.
And we'll be back to our callers in just a moment. I'm just going to be, because we do have a couple of free lines here, at 416-360-0740. And anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Charlie Dobbin and The Garden Show from AM 740.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than we do realize. And should little creatures become a big problem, well, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
With the sous chef Frank Proctor aboard here, and Rochelle, we're going to get to you in just a flash here, but an update on Tree Valley location. Did you want to get that on?
Yeah, Paul mentioned that Tree Valley had moved, and that's actually a good point. I drove right by the other day, and I thought, where did they go? Well, they did close the Richmond Hill location. Tree Valley, for 30 years, was on Bayview at Elgin Mills. They now have just the one location in Stouffville, right on Stouffville Road, just east of the 404. Tree Valley has lots of great trees and good, really nice people. So okay, if you're looking for some trees in that area, Thornhill, Richmond Hill, Stouffville, Aurora, check them out.
All righty. And let's check out what's going on here in TO with Rochelle. Hey, Rochelle, good morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Yep, you're on.
I have at my mother's apartment in Hamilton, and it's in, I'm trying to figure out, I think a north window, but very large. And it's an azalea, and it's very thirsty. And I know that because when I water it with weak tea, and that's all I use is weak tea, it blooms beautifully, but it dries out so quickly, and I just can't keep up with it. So a couple of times what I've done is I've left the pot in a couple of inches of water. I know that's really a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
However, it seems to just zoop it up. So the question I have now is, am I going to eventually rot the roots with my watering practice?
Okay, so I have a suggestion, though. Is how many years have you had the azalea?
It's probably 3 or 4 years old. It's young.
Okay, and it's in probably the same pot it came in, which is a 6-inch pot.
Yes.
Okay, so what you can do to alleviate this need to water every hour is pot that plant up into a bigger pot.
Okay.
With more soil. Now, you'll notice it's a very peat-based soil that azaleas grow in. It's not just sort of a traditional potting soil. It's a soilless mix, heavy on the peat moss.
Oh,
so when you are looking for a bigger pot, number one, you want either plastic or ceramic with drainage holes. Stay away from clay pots because, again, they dry out quicker than the plastic or the ceramic. So stay with something that will hold moisture, again, with the drainage holes. When you're buying soil, just look for a soilless mix. You may find soil that's specifically designed for azaleas, rhododendrons, acid-loving plants. Mm-hmm. If not, just get a good quality potting soil and moisten it and then plant, you know, go from smaller pot to bigger pot. Extra soil is going to help mean that you don't have to water as often. Because you're right, azaleas like to be kept very moist, and they do drink a lot. And yes, they need bigger pots, so we don't have to water them that often.
Okay, and using tea to water, it is okay?
It is okay. It's just clear tea, obviously, and there are a bunch of minerals and tannins and things in tea that many plants love. I mean, there a lot of people have secret ingredients they give to plants, and they sometimes have really good success. Now, weak tea, room temperature, yeah, as long as it's super weak, I don't think you'd have a problem.
Okay, and do I knock off the old soil from the roots before I replant it?
You're going to find that you won't be able to. You're going to find that soil is a mass of roots. There'll be no knocking off going on. Now, you may want to actually rough it up a bit with your fingers or a knife if it's just a solid ball in the shape of the pot and no roots are obvious and no soil's coming off. Then, yes, a little loosening of those roots with at least your fingers or a sharp object just to help get those roots growing out of the shape they're in right now, which is stuck in that pot shape.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good luck with that, Mary.
I've got not clay,
Rochelle.
Bigger pot,
Rochelle,
soil, don't remove old soil, and rough it up with my fingers.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you so much again.
Thanks, Rochelle. Good luck with that.
Thank you for the call. 9:29 here on The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Mary in Oakville on the line now. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Morning.
Good morning. I want to ask your advice about a lemon tree. I was given it for Easter, and it's done remarkably well. It is now about 3 feet high, and I had 9 lemons on it.
Oh, nice.
And I don't know what to do with it for the winter.
Well, you've obviously got it in the house.
Yes.
And it is a tropical plant. Full sun. Have you got a nice southern or western exposure?
Southern, yes.
Perfect. And I assume you have it there now? Well, you probably do, because it's done that well. Lemon trees, orange trees, they all love really sunny locations in our home. They have very fragrant flowers when they start to flower. And, of course, that's where you get your fruit from, is after the flowers. At this time of year, it will not use as much water as they do during the growing season. So you want to be careful that you don't overwater. Let it dry pretty thoroughly between watering. Water thoroughly when you do water. And humidity. Think about humidity. Keep it out of drafts, no hot drafts, no cold drafts. Mist to keep it, the humidity up. Use a pebble tray below or other plants in the area to help keep the humidity as high as you can around the plant. They do have a tendency to get spider mites if they get too dry, the atmosphere.
What about using a grow light on something like that?
But if you have a southern exposure, you don't need a grow light.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if some people don't have a bright spot, they would need a grow light.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Mary?
Yes, it's dropping its leaves a lot at the moment. I've just got, the last lemon has just come off the tree, so now it has no lemons on it, but the leaves are dropping quite a lot. Is that okay?
Was it outside for the summer?
On the balcony. I'm in an apartment.
Right. So the leaves it's dropping are the older, more mature leaves on the inside or the bottom of the plant, I would assume. The tips are still green?
Yes.
Yeah. So that what's happening is that the light levels are so much lower inside your apartment compared to outside your apartment. The leaves that were supported outside on the balcony getting that kind of light are getting less light now. The leaves can't survive in the lower light. They drop, new leaves grow, which are able to cope with the light levels indoors. So what you'll do actually is allow it to do its thing for the next, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I would consider giving it a trim, a little bit of a pruning, even if it's just a bit of a haircut, before it goes outside in the spring. So maybe April or early May, give it a trim, and then outside once we're frost-free. Okay?
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling The Garden Show.
Thank you.
All righty, 416-360-0740 for Toronto area listeners. Anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And Don is on the line from Belleville. Hello, Don. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Charlie. I live out in Dunville.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I'd like to know, what zone are we in?
Huh, good question. I think you're in zone 4, depending on whether how close you are to the lake.
Well, we're maybe a mile or so from the lake. We're close to the river.
Mm. And depending on your elevation, you could be between zones probably 4 and 5 then.
Okay.
So similar to where, well, you're probably kind of similar to Stouffville sort of zone. In terms of the coldness and warmth. And remember that we all have micro zones on our property. So we have areas where the wind goes whistling through and it's much colder than in the areas where it's all sheltered and there's, say the big evergreen tree or something, and it's a very sheltered little spot where the wind doesn't go whipping through. So
okay.
That has impact as well.
That was going to be part of my question was, do get a fair amount of wind here.
Mm-hmm.
We are open.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fields in behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've got a 60-foot, I got the a fence, and then there's a 60-foot stone garden wall in front of it,
mm-hmm.
60 feet long.
Right.
And I'd like to put the, in some places that's wider than others. And I'm looking for some kind of flowering shrubs and stuff to put in there. Now, I know you mentioned a couple of weeks ago to somebody else about azaleas.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was more for a partly shady, sunny spot, and also might not be hardy enough if you're really exposed. So I'm imagining, okay, big, long stone wall. What direction is the stone wall running? North, south, east, west?
It runs north, south.
Okay, and are
so
you...
it's on the east side of the house.
And it's on the east side, so you'd be gardening on the west side of it.
Of the wall?
Yeah.
Yep. The stone garden is on the east side of the house.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. So lots of morning light, obviously. It wouldn't be quite as windy down at the base of that wall because, of course, our prevailing wind comes from the west or northwest. So it's actually fairly sheltered along the base of the wall. Am I right?
Yeah, it could be. Now, yesterday it was really blowing all the way around here. But it was
blowing everywhere yesterday.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it was swirling all over the place. So at this point, you don't really have... What have you got along that garden or along that stone wall?
There's nothing in it. It's a new wall.
Hmm. Nice. It sounds really nice.
It goes out to, you know, got a half circle in it. And
there's
a square. And
wow. And somebody built this for you?
Yes.
Is it a dry stone wall? Or is it made with, was it all concreted together, or is it all stones stacked?
It's all stone.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Sounds great.
Sounds beautiful. And you know what? I wish I could give you a plan over the radio, but it's really hard with a 60-foot expanse like that.
You know, you could have Charlie come out and take a look.
Exactly. You know, that's one of the things I do, is I do that Yeah, I don't often come quite as far as Belleville, but yeah, I do consulting. I do landscape design consulting when I'm not on the radio, actually. So that's a consideration. The other thing is maybe consider, there are some good websites. Do you have access to a computer?
Yes, I don't know how to use it very well, though.
You know what you should do? Come to Canada Blooms in March, which is a big flower and garden show in Toronto. It's a 10-day show, so it starts on March the 15th and runs for 10 days. And at Canada Blooms, you will... Obviously, you can meet me, but you can meet all kinds of other gardeners, pick up all kinds of good information. You may find some books that will help you. Toronto Botanical Garden has a nice big display. And that's what I would do. Like, think about this. Get some research going. Even go to the library, magazines. There's Canadian Gardening Magazine. There's Organic Gardening Magazine. There's Garden Making Magazine. They're all out there that are local magazines, which will help give you some ideas as well. I would just start kind of making lists and start thinking about what you like, and then you'll be in a position to actually do some planting next, spring, early summer. Give yourself the next few months to kind of do a bit of research and think about it.
That's what I'm starting to do.
Yeah.
He also mentioned hydrangeas. Will they survive in there?
They could. They could. Hydrangeas like a lot of water, though. So if you are on a well and you are not in a position to be able to do a lot of watering, then I'd be looking for plants that are a little more tolerant of drought conditions than hydrangeas.
Oh, okay. Because the thing is, I'd like some color in with it, not just shrubs.
Of course.
Yeah, well, you're starting off with what sounds to be a beautiful fence
Wall. No, you've got lots of choices. Believe it or not, there's lots and lots of good things that would go amazingly in there. Little bits of evergreen, some shrubbery, some perennials, many of which could be quite tolerant of whatever the conditions are.
And, get to Canada Blooms. That would be, I think, an excellent suggestion.
And you'll meet
I've been there before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
good. Well, come again, because you're in a good position to need some, solid information.
And you do consulting.
I do, Dawn.
Matter of fact, you've got a website there, at least a computer, so you can get to email people, I presume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Charlie's email is C, and then Dobbin, D-O-B-B-I-N, at
mzmedia.com. So cdobbin@mzmedia.com.
Give Charlie a shout and see if you guys
send
can work
photos.
On that.
I can help better if you send photos, too.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Ron.
I sure appreciate it. Thank you,
okay.
Our pleasure.
Thank you. Good luck with that.
Oh, I love the sounds of that stone wall.
Yeah, doesn't sound good? Yeah. And
love stone.
Yeah, so do I. So do I.
I just am feeling it. Get it? Just, it's anyway. Yes. Carry on.
Just before I go to our next caller, you had some homework to do. Did you want to cover that off?
Good point. But you know what I wanted to tell you about?
Okay.
This isn't my homework. This was something else, but I will fill you in on that as well. I was telling you before we started the show, last night I took down the Christmas tree because it's, it's that time of year. And my poor little kitty cat, Carter, he's sitting there staring at the corner where the tree was, and he just keeps looking at it, looking at me going, where'd the tree go?
Oh, yeah, I know.
He loved the tree. It was his own little, he just was living under the tree because I have a particularly soft quilted velvet tree skirt.
Yeah.
So there he was, like ensconced on his, velvet throne with the under the branches of the tree, the warm lights above. He was literally living under the tree. And now he's just looking at me going, like, where'd it go?
What happened? What happened?
Where's my tree?
Where's the forest?
Exactly. Where's my clubhouse? So, poor guy.
That's funny.
I know.
Alrighty.
But here's that homework. Remember, it was Jacques last week. Called us from New Hamburg, and his problem was that his hibiscus plant was setting buds, but the buds kept falling off before they opened.
Right.
And I said, well, that's kind of odd. They don't generally just drop for no apparent reason. So I said I'd let him know. Well, hopefully Jacques is listening. And the answer to the question is, or the suggestion is, too much or too little fertilizer or water and excess temperature can cause hibiscus buds to drop. All right, so too much or too little water, too much or too little fertilizer, and excess temperature. So unlikely there's an excess temperature problem happening right now, but be careful with the watering. Hibiscus, I like to leave them to the point where the leaves start to droop a bit. The color, they get less shiny, and then they're dry. And then you thoroughly water them, whether it's a gallon or two or three of water, lots of water. Let them really kind of soak up and get nice and thoroughly saturated, and then leave them alone till they dry down again. And fertilizing, I wouldn't be doing a lot of fertilizing at this time of year. Well, let's wait. We'll start all of our fertilizing come March for the plants that are not currently flowering.
Right. And do you know, in spite of my frail health, I'm going to start my push-ups right now. Finger push-ups. I'm going to do my forefinger in my right hand.
Oh,
that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, I can see the sweat beating up on your brow.
I know this is so difficult. Oh, my God.
The reason Frank is doing finger push-ups is because he forgot to take his Sierra-Sil.
Yes, I've been a bad boy.
If he had taken his Sierra-Sil, he'd be doing full push-ups and not breaking a sweat at all. So let's keep that in mind. If you are a boomer who wants for the freedom to maintain your favorite activities with reduced aches and stiffness, you might want to consider Sierra-Sil as well. So, sierrasil.ca or 1-877-JOINT-14 or pick up Sierra-Sil at Heart Lake IDA Drugs on Sandalwood Parkway East in Brampton.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
Frank Proctor here, the sous chef of The Garden, and thanks to our producer, Dan, who is quick off the draw to say, a little error made there in the giving of Charlie's email address. It is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Okay? Yeah, thank you for that, Dan.
And
appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, my pleasure.
You are just so off on the ball. All right, while we're on a roll here, Dan, who is just a multi-talented kind of guy, also took a message from Heather Sinopoli. All right, Heather didn't want to come on the air for some reason. I don't know why she's getting shy all of a sudden. She is the president of the Riverdale Horticultural Society.
She's been on the air with us before, hasn't she?
Yes, she has. Yeah. She's never been afraid to be on the air. But anyway, she left a message and asked us to just announce that the Riverdale Hort Society will be meeting this January the 9th. They do meet, I believe, at 7 p.m. The topic is bonsai, growing bonsai plants, and it's Derek Morton who will be speaking on bonsai. Yeah, right.
I'm in the...
Suddenly you turned into Jackie Chan.
Yeah. the Karate Kid.
You're either looking like a bonsai or trying to do a bonsai, I'm not sure. And the Riverdale Horse Society meets on at the Frankland Community Center, which is on Logan, just south of the Danforth.
Very good.
Thank you, Heather.
All right. Now, on to our callers who are patiently waiting online, like Laura in Woodbridge. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, good morning, and happy New Year to both of you.
Well, thank you.
Charlie, I have a question for you, and I hope you are able to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Phalaenopsia orchid, and I usually don't cut the flowers right away when their flowers are dead,
mm-hmm.
because they usually come other branches from that flower.
Right.
And about a year ago, this plant, I saw a bud, and I thought it was another flower, another branch of flower.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, it was a plant.
Hmm. That happens, yep.
And now, it happened to me before. But I cut the one before I cut it too soon, and when I transplanted, it died.
Mm.
So I left this one here on a branch, and the branch is still very vivid and green,
mm-hmm.
even though it has no flower. But in the center, I have this baby plant with approximately, they are five roots that they are about 7-8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have five leaves. Two, they are approximately from 1 inch to 3 inches long. And the other one, they are from 7 to 8 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice baby plant.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
With a stem of flower with 7 buds.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And the mother underneath has also another stem of flower.
Oh, good. Yeah.
With about 6-7 buds.
You're doing something very right with that orchid.
I have no idea. I usually don't do very much with them.
Yeah.
I just water them once every 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I do spray some water with a drop of soap, soap inside, to remove some of
dust
the bugs and the bugs that they usually come around this time of year.
Yep.
And I missed it with water once, two, 3 times a week or something like that.
Yeah, keep the humidity up.
That's right. But now I have these roots that are growing everywhere on this baby plant.
Mm-hmm.
And because there are five big, nice roots, I want to transplant it.
Right.
But I'm afraid I will kill it. Since they have buds on it with flowers. I have no idea. The flowers, they're not bloomed yet.
No.
But I wanted to know, when can I transplant it? And...
So tell me, the mother orchid, is it growing in like a clay pot with bark chips, or is it in something else?
No, it is in a plastic pot with a wood chip.
With wood chips, okay. And was that something you planted yourself, or that was the way it came when you got it?
Well, I tell you the truth, I don't remember because I do have a lot of orchids, and sometimes I do remove it when I see that I overcure the roots.
Yeah,
I kind of remove it and put a brand new bark. And I don't remember how old it is, this mother plant.
Okay, so do you have orchid bark on hand in your home as we speak?
Yes.
Okay. You have two options. One you might like better than the other. What you do is you're going to get yourself a nice, fresh, small, probably 4-inch pot. You're going to fill it up with some dampened orchid bark, and you're going to sit that little pot beside the mother plant. Now, you have two options. One is you can use a pair of scissors, and you can sever the daughter away from the mother, very carefully put the daughter just sitting almost right on top of the bark. You might want to use, might be some toothpicks or some skewers just to kind of stabilize the daughter plant on the surface. You're not going to bury those roots. You're going to just literally go, a quarter of an inch below the surface, because orchids use their roots to get gas from the air.
Yeah,
and oxygen, et cetera.
Yeah.
And exactly, and moisture. So that's why we don't bury the roots, and that's the most common way of killing when we're repotting, is that we bury all these roots that want to be out in the air.
Actually, I can't even bend these roots because some of them go north, some of them go south.
Yeah, so so that's what I'm saying. You're going to just basically sit that little baby plant on top of those moist bark chips, and you're going to use some skewers or some toothpicks, something to stabilize the plant, and let it settle in there and start growing roots. If you don't want to sever it from the mother because you're afraid that it's going to be too much of a dramatic thing, you can also bend the daughter plant down, because think how that would happen in nature. In nature, the mother plant shoots off the baby daughter. The daughter gets bigger and bigger and heavier, and eventually gravity takes that bigger daughter down to a point where the roots come in contact with something, whether it's the stem of a tree, you know, a branch, ground, whatever, and it settles in and it shrivels up the little umbilical cord connection with the mother. So you can kind of set that up, make that happen, leaving them attached, just by providing that little daughter a pot and weighing it down so that it's touching into, or raising the pot, you know what I'm saying? So the daughter and the mother can be sitting side by side in separate pots, and eventually, give it a month or so, you'll cut that little umbilical cord stem connection.
Hmm. That sounds great.
See, up to now, I have this branch, you know, clipped on this wire.
Yep.
So you suggested that I will let it drop, and that the baby plant automatically will go back to the ground where the mother is.
Well, that's right, but you want the daughter to end up in a different pot, not in the mother's pot.
Okay, maybe what I will do, I will put it beside another pot.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And allow itself to go into the wet bark.
That's right.
Now, Laura, a question for you.
I know.
It says on my monitor here you're calling from Woodbridge. I suspect you're calling from the Metro Zoo.
Or Hawaii.
Yeah. What the heck's going on
probably
there?
Yeah, probably there's a zoo in my house as well. I'm an animal lover.
Okay.
Sounds very tropical.
I hope Charlie has answered your questions there, and good luck with the orchids. We've got to move along here.
Yes,
our time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Advice that you give me, and thank you for an amazing show, and I love 740.
Thank you.
Bless
our pleasure.
Thank you. It's 9:51. We do have to take a bit of a break, and the folks have been waiting online, Desrick and Richard. We'll get to you here. Just hang tight there. Frank Proctor, along with Charlie Dobbin, our garden expert on AM 740. We'll return.
Everybody's got a home, E-I-E-I home, and when you need to fix that home, E-I-E-I Home. We're the contractor here and a painter there. Here, there, everywhere. If you want to renovate, E-I-E-I Home.
EIEIHome.com is the place to find your home service professional today.
Check the experts on our site at E-I-E-I Home.
That's EIEIHome.com.
Don't change the radio station. Just because the weather changes, garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And Desrick on the line from Pickering in to talk to you. Charlie, good morning, Desrick.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I'm wondering if you can give me some good advice about aquarium plants as far as lights and fertilizer.
Have you got fish in the aquarium?
Yes, I do.
You don't need fertilizer then.
Oh, okay. But like when I say fertilizer, I mean the one that they sell in the pet store, the liquid fertilizer, whatever the proper phrase is, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, you don't need it.
You've got it.
The fish are peeing and pooping, and that is your fertilizer. So you don't need to add anything like that.
Okay.
Now, lighting, you're right. Most aquarium plants do need a fairly bright light. Now, they don't want it 24 hours a day, but they do need a fairly bright light in order to thrive.
Okay.
So have you got, obviously, lights on the aquarium?
I do, but what happened was I had it in front of a window, and I moved it.
Okay.
And I just noticed that it's just not doing good. I do have the lights that they sell in the store. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's not doing as good as it was when it was in the window.
It liked the plants like the natural light.
Right?
But did you find that when your aquarium was in front of the window, you also grew a lot more algae?
Yes.
So that's one of the issues. That's why we try and have a controlled environment to limit our the algae in the aquarium. What you could consider is there's many different spectrums of light for aquariums.
What's the best spectrum that you can recommend for me?
Well, they will actually, there'll be different, depending on the size, and I'm assuming these are little fluorescent tubes, there's all kinds of different spectrums that are for better for the fish and or better for plants.
I have both.
Oh, okay. So there you go. So you've got two different lights, one for fish and
one
for plants. And the plant light one, is it, do they claim to be the closest thing to sunlight, that sort of thing? Yeah. Okay. That's as good as you're going to get then.
Yeah.
How many hours a day do you leave the lights on?
Lately, I've been leaving it for about 10.
Okay. Could you extend that? Could you go to 12 or even?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'd be inclined to do.
So it doesn't really matter the brand name; it's just the brightness and the time.
Well, I see no artificial light really ever truly is the sun.
Yeah, I know.
However, there are some pretty good imitations out there, and it's all got to do with the amount of red light that's in the bulb. So you know how light has many different colors and different wavelengths, and plants respond to red light and far red light, which are extremely long wavelengths. So
red light and far red light.
That's right, and that's why grow lights almost have a kind of a pinky glow to them. Mm. There's always kind of a pink thing because plants need the red wavelengths.
Okay.
Now, remember, too, that the plants, and, you know, we talked about this earlier in the show with a caller who had brought a lemon tree from the balcony into the house and was seeing some leaf drop as a result of the changed light levels.
That's exactly
it's exactly what's happening inside the aquarium. The light levels have changed. The plants in the aquarium are responding to that. Hopefully they will not die. They will be able to work out some new growth in this new light regime that you've set up for them. In the meantime, be clean, be very hygienic, take dead plant parts out, because as they start to decompose, they will mess up some of your soil your water chemistry as well.
Okay.
That'd be the one thing. But give it time. I think you'll find it'll work okay.
Thank you.
And go longer hours. Go at least 12 hours.
Thanks. Thank you, Desiree.
Thanks,
for calling in. 9:56. Boy, see if we can push along here. We'll certainly get to Richard, who's calling in.
We're pushing along here.
Yes.
I'm doing all the work, we're pushing along.
I know, but I'm shoving.
I can see. You really...
Richard.
Gotta love you to keep me on track, Frank.
from Niagara Falls. Jeez, I'm getting in more trouble here without even trying. Hi, Richard. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. I have a question. I have two roses to share, and they're about 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice when other people have very mature ones,
mm-hmm.
that their flowers stay out quite long once they bloom.
Yeah.
My flowers bloom, and then they die off in about 2-3 days, and then the 50% of the buds don't flower anymore, and they just get all dried up and get hard, and I cut them off.
Yeah, and they are probably double-flowering Rose of Sharon.
That's right.
Yeah, no. That is something that happens with those. They're slow to open, and so frost kills the buds before they open. And like you said, they're not long-lasting.
Yeah, I noticed the ones that are very mature trees,
mm-hmm.
that they last for like a week and a half
but
before they fall off.
And
they
those
fall
are
off within 2-3 days.
And are the ones you were noticing, are they single-flowering or double-flowering?
Oh, single.
Yeah, because the natural or the wild type of Rose of Sharon is a single flowering flower.
Mm-hmm.
With all our fancy breeding and selection and everybody wants different, many of the double flowering, and they almost look like little miniature roses, there's so many petals to them, have been selected because they're pretty and prettier in some people's eyes. So that the double flowering Rose of Sharon are quite, they're out there in the garden centers and they can be very beautiful. But as you've recognized, flowers don't last as long and they don't open as consistently.
Yeah, and when they open, they open really nice.
Yeah, they're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Big, they look lovely, but they just don't last.
I know. And I have no suggestions on how you can do anything about that other than consider getting another Rose of Sharon onto the property that'll be a single flowering variety, and you'll get a little more length of flowering time that way.
Yeah, because when I was just given a stem from two stems, from other Rose of Sharon trees.
Uh-huh.
And I just planted them.
I know.
They grew good.
They're easy to grow. For sure.
Yeah, once they grow, they're fine. But I was wondering, why do the other buds not flower?
Again, it's they set hundreds, if not thousands of buds.
Yeah.
I once actually took out a saw and cut down a Rose of Sharon on my property because it did just that. It got thousands of buds and they never opened. And it made me so frustrated. I mean, I threatened it for years. You know, I thought it was listening. I got a cracking color, but I never got a truly flowering Rose of Sharon from that plant.
I thought maybe as they got older, they would get better.
I know, so did I, but I gave up.
So when should I cut them back?
Spring.
Spring.
Once we get into some nice warm weather and you're looking for something to do, cut them back then.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard.
Thanks for your call, Richard.
And that'll be the final call. We apologize to Zoe. Just ran out of time up there in Collingwood. But hey, Zoe, give us a call next week, okay? And do that early. Make sure you get through on the line. I know that Alan Gelman is in for Dave's Corner Garage. I haven't seen Dave
today. The boys are back.
Yeah, the boys are back.
Oh, just Alan's back.
Just Alan's in flying solo.
I know.
Well, he is
Dave's
such a
still in
clever
Florida,
rascal.
I bet.
He'll have tons of fun anyway. He's got some guests in there that he's just actually grabbed off the street.
I think so. He didn't want to be lonely.
No.
We're in a good area of Toronto where you can find lots of people on the street.
Exactly. And Charlie, it's been a ball today.
It has. Thank you very much, Frank. You are a wonderful sous chef. Feel better, eh?
Yeah. I'm going to get there.
I'm going to come and put a mustard plaster on you, I think.
Lord.
My mother would be proud of me. Okay, thank you so much, Dan Ellison. Again, wonderful producer, on the ball, thinking all the time. We're really appreciating that.
I'll be back at noon with the diner.
That's right. You're here in a couple hours. You get a little break.
Yep.
And you're back in a couple hours. So good. Well, thanks again, Frank. And thanks to all our great callers. We'll see all of you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.